listening to the Story Embers podcast, a podcast dedicated to guiding and inspiring Christian storytellers to glorify God with excellent craftsmanship. I'm your host, Grace Livingston, and welcome to episode 39, Choosing the Right Themes to Write About. I'm Grace Livingston.
I'm Josiah DeGraff.
I'm Rolina Hatfield.
And I'm Dara Slam.
And today, we'll be taking a peek into the world of theme. But before we get into that, a quick message to say that this episode is sponsored by the School of Kingdom Writers, a full-time training program for Christian writers who are serious about creating amazing media and reaching large audiences with their work. Aspiring novelists are encouraged to apply. Learn more and join the movement at sokw.org or through the link in this episode's show notes. And stay tuned to hear from Brad Pocket, director of the School of Kingdom Writers, in this episode's Midpoint Break. Okay, back to today's topic. We're talking specifically about how writers can make sure they're choosing the right themes for their stories, because all sorts of questions come up when trying to choose a theme, right? Is my theme deep enough? Or is it too shallow? Or is this really a theme I am personally equipped to write about? And so on. I wanted to start this conversation with you all, so let's begin with personal experience. How do each of you go about choosing the right themes for your stories?
Well, for me, this is probably very pastor of me to say, but it's kind of how I go about working with my theme. I usually loosely pick something at the beginning of the story when I'm doing the outline, because as I'm getting to know the character and figuring out, usually for my writing process where I'm at right now is I have the plot figured out and then I have the characters mostly in mind of who they are and where they're heading, what they want, like their main goal. And then I loosely based the theme on that. And then as I write through the story, the theme usually evolves as the character progresses, as they grow as a character. So the theme kind of emerges for me. So it's kind of a lake where I like have all of my story elements in the lake and the theme finally like rises to the surface as I go through the story. And then it seems a little bit more clear. And then like I usually nail that down. And as I go back through and work through my drafts, I'll work that theme more into the characters' interactions or the plot, depending on if it kind of stayed the same or if a little bit of it changed. But I try to stick with that one theme idea and then let it like emerge into the actual theme of the story as I go through and write the first draft. So it's a little bit more pinned down, my theme is, when I like edit and go through the second and third draft or however many drafts I need to go through.
For myself, I tend to start with themes that are important to me, either because I have learned something in relation to that theme recently. It's just something that from growing up, studying God's words, looking at other people, I'll come to these realizations of something that's true about the world that stands out to me. It's like, oh, wow, now that I see the world in that way, everything's slightly different. And so when those themes come upon me, I tend to immediately turn them into stories, not full-fledged stories, but maybe I'll think of a character, can really embody them, or just jot down that I want to do something with that. Another thing I end up doing unintentionally is that I'll have characters who I haven't planned out quite as well. And so these ones are not as well integrated into the theme. But then as I'm working through, how do I make these characters more realistic, more believable? Often I find it's not that hard to look at what are their central characteristics, what do they struggle with, what's meaningful to them, and then build a character arc out of that. I really enjoy that sort of panster approach. I'm kind of a planster, do a little bit of both. Just say, hey, this is the character that I have to work with, and it's pretty easy to integrate them into whatever theme you're working with or have their character arc mirror what you're talking about.
Yeah, I'm a bit similar to Deus in that most of my themes are bound by things that I'm currently wrestling with. Sometimes it's things I have some answers for. Sometimes when I begin, especially when I'm writing short stories, but even for novels, there are a fair number of works where part of what I'm doing as I'm writing the book work is trying to sort through some of my own thoughts on the topic. And, you know, this is something I'm probably going to talk about a bit more later on in this episode. But a lot of theme for me starts with, you know, simply asking questions. And that as I'm developing theme, what I'm really looking at is I'm taking these different thematic questions that I'm personally grappling with, and I'm exploring these and letting these play out in the story. And that as I outline it and as I write it, one of the things I'm doing during the outlining and the drafting process is trying to sort through some of my own thoughts on the subject.
What would you say are some of the most common mistakes authors can make when choosing a theme?
One of the most common mistakes I've seen, and this is largely taken from different writers that I have coached and worked with over the past 5 years, is that when authors are developing the thematic question of their story, I see a lot of writers who are asking should questions when they should be asking how or why questions. And the reason for this is that if your whole theme is just asking a should question, should you take revenge, or should you love difficult people, you know, whatever it is, those questions are normally not going to be terribly interesting in my book. Because if a question can only be answered with a yes or a no, it's probably going to be pretty obvious what the right answer is. And there's not much you can explore that. You're going to be preaching to the choir most of the time. Sure, there's going to be a couple ethical dilemmas that you can fit into a yes or no framework. But oftentimes, the most difficult questions to wrestle through aren't should you do this, but how do you do this? Not should you love a difficult person, but how do you love difficult people? Because pretty much everyone admits you should love a difficult person. But when you ask, what does that love look like? Well, suddenly you have the opportunity to explore a theme that's actually really difficult and meaningful and interesting, okay? Instead of asking, you know, should you take revenge on someone who's hurt you, ask, how should you deal with those who have hurt you? And it's a very simple change to change the should into a how or a why or a when. But that simple change can have a pretty dynamic impact on a story's theme if you decide to make that at the beginning when you're trying to choose what the right theme is for your story.
I love that, Josiah, because that's what's going to make a compelling theme to the reader, because they're not going to be struggling with the shoulds, but we all are struggling with the how to's, or what if I did this, or what if I did that. So I absolutely love that. Good thoughts.
On another note, don't just write a theme because your favorite author chose that theme or the authors in your community are doing that. A theme should be individual to you. It should be built out of your experience and your emotions and the material you have to write from, not trends.
I think all the same, there are like popular themes for a reason. So like we've all heard the theme of love or of forgiveness, because those are popular, because I think those are some of the biggest things that humankind struggle with. And like Deus was saying, though, the thing is that we need to make this personal. If ever the advice of write what you know would come into play, I feel like for theme, this is something that is going to be important. Because how can you write about a theme if you yourself haven't explored or experienced it? So even if it's something that you're like, well, I'm not really sure how I would go about this, it's a chance for you to like learn about that. I am so surprised how many times what I'm learning will just show up in my novel. And like, that's something I have to be kind of aware of, because like my character will all of a sudden do something that I was feeling that day and that was not necessarily true to that character. But it's because I'm learning about something in my own walk in life. So pulling from that is a really good way to be able to make these themes personal, is going through, even if it is like a common theme, like forgiveness. How do you forgive someone who's whatever the circumstance is? And then pulling from your own experience and learning and having to maybe explore, maybe like this will be a time that you'll need to like read your Bible on that topic, or be talking to other friends who have experienced like situations or something, just to be able to explore how going about handling that would be the best way so that you can write about it authentically.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. And, you know, one of the other things I think, you know, also relates in terms of why it's so important to either have your own experience in the topic, or if you don't have much experience, you've at least done a lot of research into it, is if I can, you know, pull something from marketing. I've been going through a fair bit of marketing training over the past 4 months. And one of the principles of marketing training, you know, in terms of what works really well to this current marketing, is, you know, what we might call problem-based marketing, where a lot of what you're doing is you're just trying trying to explain to the audience what their problem is. One of the principles you're supposed to follow is that you need to be able to explain their problem to them better than they can. And part of the idea in marketing is that really, if you can explain their problem better than they can, they're going to trust that you have the answers to it because you understand the problem, okay? It's kind of like you go into a doctor's office. When you go into the doctor's office, the doctor will, you ask you a lot of questions, he'll give you the diagnosis and say, oh, here's what your problem is. Here are the pills or the medications you should go take. And you probably don't sit there and ask him a bunch of questions about, oh, well, can you prove to me this is the best medication? No, you trust that if they're experienced and if they know the problem, they probably know the solution most of the time. Now, if they're, you know, saying, oh, you're going to have this operation that costs hundreds of thousands of dollars, maybe we'll go get a second opinion at that point, okay? But one of the most effective things they're doing in order to convince you to get the medication is simply explain to you the problem, okay? Because we believe that if someone can explain the problem, especially if they can do it better than we can, we're going to trust them with what's to follow. And if they can't, then we're going to be more likely to just brush off what they're saying as just being trite or not relevant to us. And so that's why I think it's really important when we write that we are writing with experience, either our own experience or experience we've gained through others. Because I think one of the things we need to do, one of the opportunities we have in storytelling is we have the opportunity to show people their own struggles and put things they don't understand about themselves into words. And when we can do that and we can explain the issues of the human condition in words that are better than they can use themselves, then we have the opportunity to impact them when we show that we understand them. And if we don't do that, I think we run the risk of just coming across as being trite or basic or not fully understanding things.
We'll be right back after this break. Stay tuned.
You know, in the first century, Jesus' teachings were shocking and offensive to most of his listeners. Yet our Christian media today is weak, cheesy, and watered down. My name is Brad Paquette. I'm the director of the School of Kingdom Writers. Now tell me, are you ready to break the mold and move beyond conventional Christian fiction? Are you ready to challenge American readers? If you are, then I want to work with you. The School of Kingdom Writers is now enrolling for our 2021 full-time class, which starts this September. You can learn more at sokw.org/students. Now, if you're serious about writing professionally, this is the fastest track. You'll learn how to write stories that capture your reader's attention. You'll learn how to leverage the publishing and media markets. And you'll learn to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. I think it's time for Christian media to get loud. I think it's time for you to get noticed. Check it out and join the movement at sokw.org.
Welcome back, everyone, to our discussion on choosing the right theme for your story. So far, the panelists have shared their own process for selecting themes for their stories, and you guys have touched on some tips you have for any writers who are struggling to know if they're working with the right theme. But now I kind of want to get a little more specific and talk about a common question when selecting a theme. Is my theme deep enough or is it too shallow? What do you guys think? How can someone tell if their theme is quote unquote deep enough? And where does that distinction lie for you between a shallow and a deep theme? What's the difference?
I think for me, I think a lot of this does come down to the difference between should questions and how, why, or when questions. And so I'd reiterate that here. You know, the second that I also just think about is kind of going off what I was saying just before about problems, that for me, you know, deep themes are themes that are going at actual problems that human beings struggle with. You know, there's a lot of stories that just have very shallow themes because if you're just talking about the fact that love is good, okay, there's only so much you can say about that. Depth and thematic questions and resolutions, you know, it comes out of the depth of the problems. And so the more you can think through what are the problems that real people in real life actually struggle with, and how can you depict those problems in raw, authentic ways, you know, and then grapple with it in very meaningful ways. I think that's one of the things you can do when choosing a theme that's able to add a lot of depth to your storytelling, if you're able to make sure that you are choosing a theme that real people in real life actually grapple and wrestle with in meaningful ways.
You know, and I think part of that is also, I've been thinking, has to do with your audience, because you can have a children's book that is written for kids on the topic of, like, you need to love others. And that's going to look so different than the topic of love being with maybe, like, you know, YA books. because teens are dealing with so many different things and so many different issues in life than a child would, or like than an adult would in a later season of life. So like really thinking about your audience and where they're at, what are the issues that your people that you're writing to, like talking to your people and asking them the how and why questions. What are the things that they are struggling with and that you need to address within that audience?
That's a really good point.
One thing that also makes a deep theme is not the theme itself, but the execution of it. So two things that stand out that improve the execution, there's probably many more. One would be symbolism, or symbols or motifs. If you can have that recurring motif or something that represents what you're talking about, it's something concrete for people to hold on to. Example I like to come back to is the ring in the Lord of the Rings. That can represent several things, but I think of it as like corruption, power-hungry ambition, just general sin nature, things like that. And that being a symbol, I think makes it more powerful because it's more visual, it's more subtle. Yeah, so another way to improve the execution of your theme is to build up to one moment where you have a big emotional payoff. This is how you should always write a climax, but make sure the theme is integral to that turning point in the climax. An example I think of is in Oathbringer by Brandon Sanderson. Boy, I'm gonna spoil it here. I don't think there's any way not to spoil it, so I won't spoil it too much. But if you are really planning to read the book, you might want to skip this. Basically, the villain of the story has planned to use the protagonist for his own means to bring him over to his own side. And the protagonist has been struggling with a lot of guilt and a lot of pain that would make it seem reasonable for him to join the enemy's side, because the enemy can provide him with a sense of peace, a sense that he wasn't responsible for what he did. It would just be an emotional release to join the enemy, whereas the hard thing to do is to do the right thing. And at the climax, when the enemy thinks he's going to join, and it seems like he really might, he shouts at the enemy that you cannot have my pain, that he's going to keep the pain and the struggle and the hardship in order to grow and become better, and that without pain, there is no growth. So that was a really impactful moment because everything was depending on that. And you could have the same message, but make it so much more forgettable if you didn't have, you know, the fate of the world depending on it, if you didn't have the trauma of the setup, the setting, the way it's presented. So part of the power theme is presentation.
Yeah, I love that moment at the end of Oathbringer. It's just such a powerful thematic moment of awesomeness. You know, and I think it also underscores the other thing that's really important with theme is that when you're choosing a theme, you need to make sure that it's one that's intrinsically connected to your story's plot and characters and everything else. It does little good to choose a theme you've been personally wrestling with if that theme isn't relevant to the rest of the story. You know, it needs to be something where the protagonist's ability to succeed or fail is dependent on his ability to master this thematic question. Where if he masters the thematic question, he can succeed. But if he doesn't, there is no way in the world he'll be able to succeed. So in addition to choosing one that I think is powerful and personal, you're choosing one that's also plot relevant. You know, we can get our three P's: personal, powerful, plot dynamic. I just came up with that alliteration on the spot. You're welcome. But at any rate, getting that thing that's going to be relevant to the story's plot, I think, is just very, very important for choosing the right theme.
Thank you guys for joining me on this episode, and thanks to all of you listeners who tuned in. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Have a topic or question you'd like to hear discussed on the podcast? Email us at info@storyembers.org to let us know. And as always, special thanks to our Patreon supporters, Taylor Clogston and Michael Stanton. Want to help us better guide and inspire Christian storytellers? Visit patreon.com/storyembers to become a supporter and get access to exclusive Story Embers updates, swag, and more. Finally, join me again on June 21st as Josiah, Hope and Gabby discuss the power of POV on the next episode of the Story Embers podcast.
Because it's more visual, it's more subtle. And then, I like Josiah's background. There we go. We're having a war of the Skype backgrounds here. I think Josiah just won.
I got the Balrog. I got the Balrog, folks.
Yep.